every day in this sector and across the border, you know, consistently more than 10,000 each and every day. I think it remains to be seen whether or not the sweeping asylum regulations that were introduced, those are the ones that say migrants who cross the border without first seeking refuge in a third safe country along the way will be returned to their home country.
Severe weather is hitting the Midwest and Mid-South with heavy thunderstorms and tornadoes. Here's CBS's Roxana Saberi.
Hey, look at the debris.
In the small town of Noble, just south of Oklahoma City, a tornado ripped the roof off a local donut shop.
Here we go.
Nearby in Cole, 10 structures were damaged after an EF1 swept through. But in front of this home, the stars and stripes still stand.
This really defines our community, bent but not broken.
Lori Vallow Daybell could spend the rest of her life in prison after a jury found her guilty of killing her 7-year-old son, her 16-year-old daughter, and the wife of the man she later married. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is in Boise, Idaho.
There's nothing okay about killing children. You threw them away like garbage.
This phone call was among the evidence, along with a hair matching Vallow Daybell's DNA found on the tape wrapped around JJ's body. Prosecutors claimed she used her religion to justify the murders and funded her lifestyle with the kids' Social Security checks and Tammy's life insurance. The defense rested without calling a single witness. They argued she fell victim to her cult leader husband.
More than 6 months after he bought Twitter, its new owner says it's time for someone else to run the show. CBS's Jim Crisula.
Elon Musk has confirmed that the new CEO for Twitter, or X Corp as it's now called, will be NBC Universal's Linda Yaccarino, an executive with deep ties to the advertising industry. She will step down as the head of NBC Universal's global advertising and partnerships.
Longtime baseball umpire Don Dechinger has died, and despite a reputation as one of the best, most remembered Dechinger for this call in the 1985 World Series.
Little swimmer to the right side. Worrell races over to cover. The throw doesn't get him.
The replay showed Kansas City's George Orta was clearly out. Dechinger later said nobody ever wants a blown call, but it's part of history. It happened. Don Dechinger was 86. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
This Entertainment Insider is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. After 8 years, James Corden is saying goodbye to The Late Late Show. What will he miss the most about it all?
More than anything, I'm just going to miss my friends that I've made here at the show. I'm going to miss the feeling of coming into this office every day and knowing that someone's going to make you laugh.
Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance.
At Lowe's, we're always bringing pros more ways to save. Right now, get a Flex 24-volt half-inch drill driver kit for only $99. Was $179. That's a savings of $80. Plus, you'll always save big on job lot quantities when buying select building supplies in bulk. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Valid from 320 to 720. While supplies last, U.S. only. Lowe's reserves the right to limit quantities. Discount taken at time of purchase.
Bug Tussle has been your trusted rural internet provider since 2003. Based in Wisconsin and backed by local support, Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet where others can't or won't. At an honest price, without any contracts or data caps, Bug Tussle has the plan that's right for you. Get connected with Bug Tussle today for internet, cellular, and entertainment by calling 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924. Or visit btussle.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, May 15th. In Wood County, the Residential Options Committee will meet at 8:30 a.m. at the courthouse in room 114. The Citizens Groundwater Group will meet at 2 in the River Block Building in room 206. The Wisconsin State Fair Board of Directors will meet at 6:30 at the fair office in Marshfield. In Portage County, the Board of Adjustment will meet at 4 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Room 5. The Health and Human Services Board meeting scheduled for 4:30 has been canceled. The Stevens Point Special City Plan Commission will meet at 6 in the Community Room on Michigan Avenue. Following that, the Common Council meeting will begin at 7. In Adams County, the Library Board will meet from 2 to 3 p.m. The Adams City Council meeting will run from 6 to 7 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered rain showers overnight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 56. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers again tomorrow. Highs level off around 70. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast tomorrow night. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 50. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 60.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Anybody running against Trump, if he calls them a nasty name, they should hit him back twice as hard. This is not the Marcus of Queensberry gentleman's rules anymore. In politics, certainly not in the Republican Party. Hit him hard.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Log on civicmedia.us.
You go where...
It's great to be here to speak directly to the woke mob.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Scobody boom boom. Scobody dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Do you like your job? 844-967-2789. Or if you were retired, what was the most satisfying job you ever had in your career? And I guess it's not even, do you like your job? Are you satisfied with your job? Are those two different things, Jane Mattner?
Yeah, they can be.
You know, satisfied versus liking it?
Yeah, you can be satisfied with what you're getting paid, and you can be satisfied with what you're doing, I guess. But being happy is an extra good element.
844-96-PARTY. Are you satisfied in your job, or if you're not working anymore, what job were you the most satisfied in? And I ask this because, surprise, people like their jobs.
What? I thought we were all miserable, lazy do-nothings, and we hate everything.
And nobody wants to work anymore.
And we're quiet quitting all over the place.
The Conference Board released new data showing that 62.3% of U.S. workers are satisfied with their job, the highest share since the Business Research Organization started the survey in 1987.
Wow.
So that's saying something.
Yes, it certainly is. My goodness.
And so I was curious as I saw that in this morning's headlines of the people who listen to As Goes Wisconsin, and we're listening now. The thing is, the tricky thing about asking these questions, especially about working, because some people may be listening to this show as a podcast, because they are actually working.
There is that, yes.
From 11 to 2,
right.
You know, a lot of people who have jobs, unless, you know, so if you can text, if you're listening to us while you're working, obviously you can text us if you don't want to pick up the phone. But I just thought it was interesting as far as, you know, people who are working, or when you think back at your career, what, not only were you satisfied, but what about your work made it a satisfying job?
Was it your colleagues? Was it management? Was it what you felt you accomplished or were accomplishing?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a greater good umbrella? Somehow, 844-967-2789-844-96-PARTY. Do you like your job?
Because, so what's behind, at least what they're saying from this new data from this year, or that was released this week, is it's not the perks. I mean, not that every job has perks, but as far as, you know, I worked at a job that had, you know, the kombucha on tap and yoga wellness retreats.
Oh, God, that just makes me roll my eyes.
But it's more, at least for now, the resurgence of employee happiness is mainly attributed to hybrid work arrangements, job flexibility, and the tight labor market that has allowed people to leave the jobs they hate for jobs they like, or at least jobs that they hate less.
Step in the right direction.
And so, which I think makes a lot of sense. I think that there is something I would say when I, and not that I don't think I would ever say that I worked for a drill sergeant, let's say, as far as the I think the consistent of my life has always been no one puts more pressure on me than me.
I think you're spot on with that.
And even when I was working in tech, I didn't necessarily have bosses who were like breathing down my neck for stuff. But there was I put an immense amount of pressure on myself. But also, when you work in an office, you manage a team, the expectation that you're in the office. And this would have been 2011 to 2017. You know, I had a job where it was expected that you went to the office every day. And when I left tech in 2017 and I started doing consulting and freelance work and trying to figure out what my next step was going to be, what was nice is like, oh, I can just get this done whenever I need to get it done. So I could work at 7 o'clock at night.
Right.
And if I wanted to do take a lunch meeting in the middle of the day, I didn't feel like I was sneaking out of the office or like doctor's appointments or stuff like that. When you're like, you have this weird sense of guilt that if you're not visibly seen in the office, you're doing something wrong.
You're playing hooky.
And so it is interesting to think that to a certain extent for job satisfaction and the jobs that allow it, that maybe not totally remote work, but at least continuing to have some kind of flexibility and hybrid and employers trusting their employees will continue to be a high value for workers and why they would stay at jobs longer, knowing that they value that as much as maybe they value a higher paycheck.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Texter from the 715, I work at a nursing home in maintenance. I like my job, but there are lots of gaps in help, and that really starts to wear on others. And that's kind of a problem across the board. Yeah.
And what's so hard with the nursing homes, childcare, teachers, other nurses, the slippery slope of what's hard about our job is we don't have enough help because there's a shortage. And so then potentially you get the people who are working burned out and then they leave and then that exacerbates the problem.
Right.
And so, yeah, that is, and that's not a job you can do hybrid.
No.
No, when you're doing nursing home maintenance, I'm pretty sure you got to be there.
Yeah, not remote. We're not quite that good with AI just yet.
There's no cloud technology that...
No, it's going to do that for you.
But we are asking, do you like your job? Are you satisfied in your job? Or if you are retired, what job was the most satisfying for you? And I think this is probably different for each person, as far as what you probably aligns with what your value system is and where you are in your life. I'm sure someone who is single and maybe not married yet, or certainly childless, has a different thing, set of criteria that they look for in a job than once you have kids. And so I think it's just an interesting question. And I think it's interesting that the data that came back from this survey is that so far, right now, people are pretty satisfied.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Lester from Milwaukee joining us. Hey, Lester, thanks for calling. What do you want to say about what you like about your job?
Well, I work in the service industry, and actually, Kristen...
I know, Lester.
We've met before.
We went to high school together.
Hi, Lester! Oh, full disclosure.
Hey,
hi. So, do you like your job?
But, yeah. Also, I like working in the service industry, right? And everybody's always given me crap about getting a real job, right? And the reason I have never gotten a real job is because I like my job, right? I've always liked my job. I've always liked meeting new people. I've always liked the day is never the same, right? So that's, I think, I mean, although people are leaving the service industry in droves or have been because of other you know, kind of crappier parts about service industry.
Yeah.
I've always liked service industry. And I think that's the one thing that people do love about the service industry, right, is that it's there's some flexibility. And there's also just, you know, the day is always different. It's not the normal grind that I see when I think of, you know, office work.
Staring at a computer all day?
Right.
Would you, how mind numbing does staring at a computer all day sound to you after years of working in the service industry?
So I got my degree in marine biology, right? And right before my senior year, during my senior year, I was doing my research, and 90% of research biology is sitting in a lab crunching data. A lab with no windows or a lab.
Walruses?
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, it just became this. I just realized, like, this is definitely not for me. I can't do this. I can't not speak to people for 6 or 7 hours a day. I went and visited a guy that works at the Smithsonian, and his office is in the basement of the Smithsonian Institute with no windows.
Wow.
Doesn't sound fun to me.
Yeah, for some people, Lester, that's fine, and they're not necessarily as social as you, but you're obviously in the right line of work because you like people.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you want to give a shout-out for where you work so people can come check out your establishment?
Yeah, so I run the Venture Brewing Company in kind of West Milwaukee on 55th and North Avenue. We brew our own beer and roast our own coffee.
There you go. Nice. Two types of brew.
Nicely done, Lester.
Thanks for the call, Lester. Good to hear from you. Yeah. We're asking, are you satisfied with your job? And if so, why? Because I think it's different for a lot of people. Like for Lester, obviously being able to be social and talk to people and the days are different and you have flexibility. And I think, you know, for some people with the service industry, they're on an opposite schedule from everyone in the office, right? It's like the days you're making the most money are nights, weekends, holidays.
Yep.
And so for some people, that's great. Some people, that's not great. And so we'd love to hear from you on whether you like your job. And if you're not working anymore, what job were you the most satisfied with? We have a message from our friend Joe McClear. My job is okay. I work for myself. My boss is cool, but my employee can be a brat.
I can see that, Joe. I can see the challenge there. You have to manage those things. It's tricky.
And that is something to be said as far as some people, I think of working for yourself as the dream.
Not necessarily.
And I will say I mean, everything I've done with As Goes Wisconsin as its own company was basically freelance, right? So I didn't have employees, but I was just having this conversation with my friend, and then we'll go to break, who's a radiation nurse, and she just had her baby. And she, you know, she worked like 12-hour shifts while she was pregnant, and not always, but sometimes. And I was over at her house playing with her baby, and I had to like check myself during the first trimester when I was so tired, because it's like I don't have a labor intensive job, like a physically laborious job
where you have to stand.
I sit and, here, and I was like, intellectually, I think it's a lot of work. And she said to me, she was like, but she's like, when I come home, I come home. My job does not come home with me.
Yeah.
And I would say certainly for myself, and I think for any entrepreneur, anyone who's working themselves, it's hard to ever turn it off because you're always thinking about the business and how to grow or what's next. And so for some people, that's great. And some people, they're like, I just want my 9-to-5 and then I want my weekends. Slam that computer and not come back till Monday. So we would love to hear from you. Are you satisfied with your job? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be right back.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission.
Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you, too, can live and serve part-time, close to home, by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Home of Les Paul.
Waukesha's famous farmer's market.
And The Shaw. W-A-U-K.
When I'm in the car, I'm always listening.
Home of Les Paul.
Waukesha's famous farmer's market.
And The Shaw. W-A-U-K.
When I'm in the car, I'm always listening.
Home of Les Paul.
Waukesha's famous farmer's market.
And The Shaw.
W-A-U-K. Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. Two women who are very satisfied with their jobs.
Yes,
right?
Very much so.
You haven't always been.
No.
I have those checks in days where I'm either frustrated or, you know, the slog of like, oh, we have to like think of another 3 hours of content. And all I want to do is this other thing this morning. Because my ADHD brain sometimes is like, no, I don't want to work on that today.
Zing, let's go.
But for
you.
The, like, overwhelmingly, we have pretty cool jobs.
Yes, we definitely do.
We have pretty cool jobs.
Yes, we do.
And so certainly we are satisfied with our jobs, but we are asking you, if you are satisfied with your job, or what about your job, or any job is satisfying? What does the criteria of that look like for you? And we're saying this, we're asking this because there is a new set of data out from the Conference Board saying that 62.3% of U.S. workers are satisfied with their job, which is the highest share since they started asking that question in 1987.
That's so, pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
It is 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Texter from the 414, as a skilled trade working in the maintenance department, I never knew what I would be working on from day to day. A great career I enjoyed every day. I knew many people that hated coming to work, but I had a good time and I looked forward to working, but I also enjoyed my time away from work, too. We got to have a little balance.
Absolutely.
Got to have a little balance. From the 262, I'm self-employed, work by myself. In some ways, it's great. In some ways, it's really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But as someone who builds furniture,
doesn't
that sound great?
Send us a link to your furniture so we can oogle and ogle at it.
As someone who builds furniture and home decor items, it's really satisfying to finish pieces, big or small, handcrafting things is extremely satisfying. I don't doubt that at all.
I can imagine, yeah, the sense of accomplishment once it's done and
right?
Then it's sold and the people who buy it are love it and it finds a home. And
You made it with your own two hands mm-hmm. and your sweat and love. And I think that's just, that gives me chills.
I always, like, I'm sure it'd be so interesting to see a cross comparison of people who work with their hands, people who work in service of others and have, you know, either clients, patients, customers, you know, but some people really love research and they don't actually want to deal with anyone.
Well, yeah, and it's a good thing there are a spot for those people who don't mind working in basements with no windows.
But yeah, but it's just, it would be interesting because I think I have read that before, that despite labor shortages and how burnt out nurses, teachers, some of those folks and works in direct service with others are right now, the actual work is much more rewarding than like a marketing manager at some tech company.
Which is what like, you did. All art. Did you not?
Basically, sort of, yes. It was like I sat in between the marketing department who created leads and the sales team that closed deals. My team was following up on leads and also like cold calling, trying to root out deals at ideal customers with the right person at those companies. So it was a lot of cold calling, cold emailing.
I would have sucked at that job. Sucked.
And so, I think for people who work in those jobs, a lot of those corporate type jobs, you know, you have to build the culture of your teammates and the kombucha and stuff like that, because the actual, you're like, what are we actually doing? What is our actual mission? And then that company in particular, it was, you know, we're trying to help you optimize your website so that you can basically sell more stuff to people.
Well, now that's understandable though.
That I would, to be passionate about that?
Not to be passionate, but at least when you phrase it like that, I understand what you were doing.
Oh, yeah. You know? It was a tool that sat on your website that basically, you, instead of being like a coder that could like actually have to like know how to like do HTML or anything like that, you could like drop and drag and make changes to your website and then test the traffic to be like, did more people click this button? Or did they click this button when we phrased it differently and stuff like that?
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, text and or call. From the 608, we're taking your calls and texts on whether or not you like your job. There's two of us listening to you on Richland Center Radio. Yay, we are UPS drivers who love our jobs, especially from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thank you, Jane and Kristen. Thank you, 608.
Thank you.
That means more than you realize. It really does.
I would love to know. I feel like those are two UPS drivers who love their job. I feel like these are the types of people who on the Ring cameras will end up going viral. They'll like, you know, because how those happen every nice. Once in a while now? Yeah. They'll do something nice, or they'll leave a nice message, or they'll do like a dance or something in front of a Ring camera, and then they post it on TikTok, and then all of a sudden it's got like 3 million views.
Go for that, Richland Center. Go do but some dancing this afternoon.
Go do some dancing in front of doorknobs?
Doorbells.
So, well, this is fun. I want to keep hearing if you like your job. What about your job that you like? Because this is a fun topic for a Friday. I do want to at least acknowledge when we come back some of the stuff that's happening at the border. But let's keep this rolling. So I'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. Do you like your job? And what about it is satisfying? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
And you and me, no matter how they toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together. So happy together.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. An historic overhaul of Wisconsin's shared revenue system is one step closer to passing the legislature. The Assembly's Local Government Committee passed the bill Thursday. Democrats on the committee tried and failed to remove parts of the bill that have nothing to do with state aid to local communities. Representative Clinton Anderson from Beloit.
I'm a person who believes in local control, and I support local governments, and I want to give them the tools to do what they do best.
But Republican Todd Novak of Dodgeville says Democrats have had their chance to shape the bill.
Yes, it is a Republican bill, but your party did have a lot of input and suggestions and stuff.
The next stop is the Assembly floor next week. Governor Evers has promised to veto the bill unless quotas and other restrictions on local governments are taken out. In sports, the Brewers host Kansas City tonight. I'm Melissa Kay, and this is Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Chance for scattered rain showers overnight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows level off around 56. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers again tomorrow. Highs level off around 70. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast tomorrow night. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 50. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 60.
Prime working age people. So what is that, 25 to 55?
54, 55.
Wisconsin is one of the strongest states with the highest labor participation rate in the country. So the people who are of that age range in Wisconsin, a lot of them are working. The highest percentage of them are working basically compared to other states. And we said, you know, part of the issue is that we are aging faster than the rest of the country. But the rest of the country is also aging pretty fast.
Right.
And
the boomers are a huge chunk of the population.
And this was from Axios, I think this week, of why labor shortages could be here to stay. And it's because Americans are getting older. And so even if the job market cools off from like how hot it is right now, it can mean that shortages like are here and they're part of the equation. And so, you know, having options and needing to be like as the employer of having a place where people want to work will continue to make you competitive to have people actually continue to want to work for your place. But it's also just interesting as far as if we will ever go back to kind of that feeling of, for a lot of people, feeling like they're trapped in their job.
And I think, I do think that there are some people who are still stuck, and that's largely because of healthcare.
Yeah.
Because if you have a job if you have an employer that provides healthcare and you would like to do something else, but you don't have the healthcare option, that's going to keep you where you were.
Yeah.
Because it's just so, the potential of going bankrupt when someone in your family gets sick is terrifying.
Yeah.
And that can happen even when you have health insurance, which is not very reassuring. But
it's not very reassuring, that insurance that you pay into. You're like, wait, what? Why do I pay a premium I'm still $15,000 in the hole for this thing?
Because those insurance companies, they need big fountains on their properties.
That is true. Well, if you still would like to tell us why you love your job, if you're happy with your job at all, what would make you happier, we will continue to take your calls and texts, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Happy Friday. This is not as happy of a topic, but it's one of those things that it's been in the headlines all week. And it feels like we need to at least acknowledge it, even though it is so complicated and not something that we're going to solve in the next 8 minutes.
No.
But I wanted to at least acknowledge what's happening at the border and what a mess it is, seemingly, because Title 42, which was the Trump-era policy that allowed the U.S. to expel migrants at the southern border without processing asylum claims, ended last night. And since March 2020, the U.S. used that rule to 2,700,000 times.
Wow.
To turn away migrants on the grounds that they were doing so to prevent the spread of coronavirus. And so with that ending, it had to end because all of the COVID policies are ending because COVID is, as far as the emergency,
it's over.
Is over. And so now the U.S. returns to a policy that gives migrants the chance to have their asylum cases heard. However, those who cross improperly are going to face more severe penalties, like a 5-year ban on reentry. But we're already seeing it's going to be a spike in border crossings, and we are not, as a country, we are not really prepared for it at all. 60,000 people were waiting near the border to enter the U.S. on Wednesday. Border officials have apprehended a record 11,000 people trying to enter the U.S. on Tuesday and Wednesday. And I think the thing is, when we're hearing these numbers, the point that I want to make is like, all of these are people. Like, it's a mess, and you can blame Biden, you can blame Trump, you can certainly blame Congress, who continues to do nothing.
We can go back decades and blame people for this.
And, you know, but ultimately, numbers are different than individual stories of what the people who are trying to get to this country have gone through to even get this far. And I just wanted to, share one story that I read this morning of two parents and their two children and what they went through to get to the border. And I'm not saying this is, oh, we should feel bad for them, so we need to loosen, we need to have no borders. Like, this is a issue where I don't think I know where I stand yet. because in certain ways, it's not as simple as saying, well, like, look at these labor shortages. Like, it would do our country well if we could figure out the processing system and have more judges and have more lawyers and, like, expedite how, like, the backlog of over a million people who need to have their cases heard and, like, have a system to set people up, because we're not having any more babies at the pace that we see we need to be, as far as, like, the value that immigrants provide to our country. And at the same time, I know it can't just be a free-for-all where you don't actually understand who's coming into the country.
You have to have a vetting
process. And you have to have a vetting process. And so, like, I understand this is more complicated, and I'm not saying that I have, I know enough about this topic to, like, fight tooth and nail on my opinion. But what I will say, and what I do think about, is how most of us probably listening to this show right now will never go through the terror of what a lot of, like, these thousands of people have gone through to try to even have a chance.
Just to get
here.
The border.
Like, I think about, you know, our first topic of, like, do we like our jobs? And, like, you know, unless you're working in some, like, high risk, very dangerous work, you know, being disgruntled about work stuff is very, you know, it's just like kind of putting things in perspective. And so I'm just going to share the story, and I'm probably will end it there, as far as just like a reminder that all of these people who are being summed up as 10,000 people, 60,000 people,
all lumped together,
2.7 million people who were turned away, a million people on a backlog of the, like, people seeking asylum who are in the country right now. Like, these are really, really big numbers that are really hard to then wrap your head around, that each of them are an individual story and each of them are a person. And so, Juan and Jeslyn, who's 26 and 22, and their two children, ages 5 and 3, left Venezuela 4 months ago. They were determined to seek a better life in the U.S. and undeterred by immigration challenges they knew they'd face. For days, the young family trekked through the dangerous jungles of the Darien Gap, the isthmus bridging South and Central America, Juan told Axios, with help from an interpreter. That's where they were robbed. Juan and Jeslyn dug through their bags to show Axios their identification documents taped together after the attackers had torn them apart. Three women in their migrant group of the 60 were raped, they said. The family survived and eventually made it to the Texas border, then spent 3 weeks in Ciudad Juarez trying to schedule an appointment with border officials through an app the Biden administration has touted as an orderly, legal way to schedule meetings with migration officials. They finally chose to cross into the U.S. and risk turning themselves into Border Patrol. They were lucky enough to avoid being expelled to Mexico, as hundreds of Venezuelans had been in March, according to government data. Juan and Jeslyn were processed by the Border Patrol and can now settle in the U.S. until their next steps in the immigration process. They have no relatives in the U.S., they have no money, and they originally planned to go to Orlando, but then they heard about the Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, new laws targeting undocumented immigrants, so now they're trying to find a way to get to Boston.
Wow.
They did all of that with a 3- and a 5-year-old.
Wow.
And that is one, then that's a story of a family who made it. You know, and it's just the reminder that as you maybe have very strong opinions on what we should or should not be doing, just remembering that they're people.
And again, blame for this situation, we can spread across both sides going back decades. Because Congress, it's one of those icky hot potato things. I don't want to deal with it because it will make me unpopular with some of my constituents. The whole DACA thing, the Dreamers program. These people who were brought here as children, and in many cases very young children, are now in their 30s and 40s.
Oh, yeah. But it's what's frustrating to me is in the last, at least the last two administrations, Trump's policies, you know, the family separation, but also with Biden right now, like, there's no clear mandate. Like, he's kind of like wishy-washy on where he stands on this, where he's taking some kind of like hardline Trump stuff, but kind of like running on progressive, like, you know, it's just there's no mandate and there's no objective that like brings order to what it's supposed to look like at all. But ultimately, we keep pushing this to looking at the president. It's the president's fault. It's the president's fault. It's the president's fault wherever we are. But there's no president who can fix this with executive actions and administrative rules. Like, without Congress actually passing a comprehensive immigration bill, which, you know, they've seemed to be talking about for decades.
Yeah, and nothing gets done.
We're just going to keep ending back up here with ebbs and flows and dysfunction at the border. And it hurts American citizens, and it hurts migrants who want to be here and like actually contribute to society. And it just creates more and more animosity through like everyone. And it's what sucks is that, like, do any of us have any expectation or hope that Congress would actually get this done?
No. And how depressing is that?
You know, it's just, especially with, you know, another presidential, I mean, with elections every 2 years between midterms and the presidential election, it's just like, nobody wants to touch it, and they just want to blame it on whoever's in office.
Well, and that could lead one to believe that we don't want to solve this, because then we can't point fingers at the other side and blame them for it.
Instead, and we can't raise money off of it.
And we can't raise money off of it either, and scare people, and try and terrify people. And it's a problem that needs to be addressed, and both sides need to do this.
So I bring it up only because it's obviously,
well, it's happening.
It's
right
happening.
Now.
It's really important news. It is so meaty, and it is not something. I think there's, for me, there is not a hill that I die on beyond trying to continue to remember our humanity, and the choice that any of these people make. Because if you think about how much we love Wisconsin, and you get people who are like, I would never leave Wisconsin. Even with all of its flaws, like, this is my home.
Right.
And same thing with people who are from the United States, who are like, if they're critical of the United States, but like, this is my home. I would never leave because this is my culture. This is the country that I love.
Everything I know.
Most people feel that way. You know, most people love the country that they're from, even if they end up leaving. Like, I think about Sepide, who came in and from Iran.
Iran, yeah.
And she loves her country. She does not love the regime, but she loves her country.
And the culture of her people.
And she's incredibly sad that she cannot go back.
Yep.
Because it's not safe. And so just continuing to remember the people who choose to do this, it's not to come take advantage of what's here. It's because they're left with no other option of how dangerous and unsafe it is where they're at, that they're willing to risk death and rape and their children's lives to try to get here. All right, when we come back, we'll have some fun with the headline quiz. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We get the job done.
Por tierra, por agua, identidad falsa. Brincamos muros o flotamos en balsa. La peleamos como...
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You could say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You could ask with an app if it works for you. You could write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you could write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at SeizeTheAwkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
That's all you had to say.
This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM.
Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we welcome you to our Fun Friday, May 12th.
Zipping along, boy.
Zipping along. You said we have a text?
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Anytime you want to call and or text. And we were talking about what's going on at our southern border and immigration. Texter from the 414 says, since our politicians don't seem to want to do anything about immigration, maybe we need to look to our faith community to like take a lead on this human life issue. Just a thought. And that's a good point. And I think a lot of faith communities have already done that and are trying to do that.
I think that there are a lot of faith organizations that are doing stuff. I know that. So in the story that we read that was from Axios, it was where the family was staying was called Opportunity Center for Homeless. And it's like many other operations at the border are overseen by nonprofits and religious groups to temporarily house new migrants.
And that's wonderful. And I applaud those agencies for that, but that's not enough. Congress has to do something about this.
And will they?
Well, again, we've talked to enough people who have said, even though you might just end up leaving them a message, call your lawmakers.
Yeah.
Bug them. Politely.
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 All right. Well, let's end the hour on a high note, and let's do our weekly headline quiz.
All right.
And see how Jane does.
Okay.
Number one. Tucker Carlson announced he's debuting a new version of his show on which social media platform?
Twitter.
Don't even have to give the options. All right?
Sure.
Number two, which contraband American snack has become so popular in Israel that officials have confiscated 661 pounds of it in a single week? Do you need to read the options?
No, I know what it is. It's fruit roll-ups. God, I love this story. I'm going to become a fruit roll-up smuggler.
Have you tried the fruit roll-up with the ice cream?
No. This is the
trend. We might have to do this on air.
This is why they're so in love with it.
This has been a TikTok trend. We'll get back to it. Let's finish the quiz and then we'll get back to
it. All right.
Number three. Which news outlet did Americans deem the most trustworthy in a new YouGov poll? Do you know this one without the...
No, give me the options.
A, InfoWars. B, The Weather Channel. C, Wall Street Journal. D, BBC.
It's The Weather Channel.
It is The Weather Channel.
Yep.
Number four, Warren Buffett called one company in his stock portfolio a, quote, better business than any we own. Which company was he talking about? Sorry. A, Microsoft.
Okay.
B, OnlyFans. DC, Dairy Queen, D, Apple. Now I need to know if Warren Buffett owns stock in OnlyFans.
OnlyFans.
Or if OnlyFans is even a public company.
I have no idea. Give me my options one more time, please.
Microsoft, OnlyFans, Dairy Queen, Apple.
I'll go with Microsoft. I have no idea.
I actually have no idea either. Number five, what is the name of the Petit Basset Griffon Vendine who was the first in his breed to win the Westminster Dog Show this week? Buddy Holly, Chuck Berry, Elvis Presley, Roy Orbison.
Chuck Berry. Completely out of the blue. I have no
idea.
I'm
surprised you didn't watch that. I feel like that would be right up your alley.
I dip in every once in a while.
All right.
I do. All right. How'd I do?
Submit 3 out of 5.
Oh, what?
Tucker Carlson said his new show is coming on to Twitter. Israeli officials confiscated 661 pounds of fruit roll-ups.
Oh, that's such a good story.
The Weather Channel was deemed the most trustworthy news outlet.
I blew the last two.
Buffett was talking about Apple.
Oh, okay.
Although I do want to know if he owns OnlyFans.
We'll investigate.
The winning PBGV is named Buddy Holly.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. So, but anyways, going back to
the fruit roll-up
Fruit roll-up. So Israel keeps catching Americans trying to smuggle in the hot new contraband, fruit roll-ups. Officials say they intercepted 661 pounds of them in a single week after travelers tried to sneak in commercial-sized quantities. What's got people treating the lunchbox staple like exotic animal pets? A TikTok trend that suggests wrapping the snacks around ice cream.
That sounds stupid.
Just saying. So there's the original video is linked here. I'll send it to you and I'll put it in today's show notes.
But it doesn't melt.
I don't know. The original video has over 14 million views. Fruit roll-ups have become so popular in Israel that people are willing to pay $6 each for a fruit roll-up. Remember when Hasan Minhaj gave Giannis a fruit roll-up and he forgot to take the wrapper off? He's like, no, man, you got to take the wrapper off. You got to just bite into it.
Well, you can't go smuggling fruit roll-ups in commercial size. You got to get a raincoat and you go, psst, buddy, I have strawberry.
But I'm so interested. I was like, I don't understand. Why are they confiscating them? Why are fruit roll-ups illegal in Israel?
Another thing to investigate.
Like, it's not a plant or something that's going to, like, infest anything that's like, oh, like, this is like a foreign bug that's going to bring a plague and kill all our people.
There's obviously some reason for it, unless they're just anti-fruit roll-up.
Which could be.
It's possible.
It's kind of like Skittles. Like, is this food? I don't know.
It's like cheese food.
If you've tried this, if you've tried ice cream and a fruit roll-up, we would love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
And hear how it is. 844-967-2789. Otherwise, either way, actually, I should say. One, we would love to hear if you've tried it. Two, maybe I have to go get some of this and we have to do this on air.
We'll have to do a
taste test air.
I think we'll have to do a trial run.
Is it because it's supposed to be really warm next week, right? I think it's supposed to be like summer type weather. So I feel like, next week might be
the time to try it.
Might be the time for an ice cream snack with a little sugary fruit roll up.
We'll do some kitchen experiments on Asgo's, Wisconsin.
All right. Well, when we come back, I am so excited. A dear old friend of mine, Becca Grant, who is a journalist and author who's been covering reproductive rights in the U.S. for almost 10 years, has a new book out called Birth, 3 Mothers, 9 Months, and Pregnancy in America. And also, she worked on an episode of This American Life this last year, and she just found out this week that they won a Peabody for that episode. So she will be here when we come back. I'm so excited to talk to her. And then at 12:30, we're going to talk to CJ Safer, because Institute for Reforming Government just published their huge report of 25 cities, 4,200 miles. Like, they put the work in to try to answer the question of what does Wisconsin want? So he will be here at 12:30. Very fun hour on this Friday. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Santa Theo.
Yeah. Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit SmileTrain.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening.